Welcome to this episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, joined here today by Jim Patton. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good, Adam. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for coming and meeting me here on this. Looks like we're having a little bit of bad weather today. Hope everybody's going to be safe.
Yeah, they even closed the schools at one. These podcasts go out a couple of days after we do them usually, and it's April 11th is the day we're doing it, and it's weather's pretty bad. They closed most of the schools at 1 o'clock today.
Well, I'm sure everybody can check out James Spann on his podcast and live on the air, and he'll keep everybody safe tonight.
Yes, I guess he's the most famous weatherman this area's ever had. I'm proud to be affiliated with him.
Well, Jim, it looks like A-Day is almost upon us.
Yeah, people are getting excited about seeing what Coach Gus can do and what he's done so far. And I think it'll be an exciting time, and they're predicting a big crowd.
That's right, Jim. And looks like basketball season's over, but baseball season's getting in full swing.
Yes, it is. We got spring training going on, A-Day, baseball season. softball season's going on, so got a lot.
Well, Jim, unfortunately, since our last show, a bit of bad news has broken down in Auburn, and I'm wondering if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, I got a guest. A lot of people remember this fellow. He was a tremendous football player, and he keeps up with what's happening at Auburn, and I asked him what he thought about it, and he predicted exactly what was going to happen. But this fella's from my hometown, helped raise me and teach me how to play sports. And he actually was AP Player of the Nation 1 week. That's one of his big claims to fame. He had a lot of long touchdowns at Auburn, returning punts and catching passes. But he was a running back in against Tennessee 1 year in Legion Field. He touched the ball 4 times and scored 3 touchdowns. And it's Mike Currier. He's from Oneonta, Alabama, my hometown, and I appreciate him coming on because he knows a lot of great stories and a lot of the people. And Mike, tell him what you told me when I called you with concern about this allegations down there at Auburn.
Okay, Jim. First of all, let me say I appreciate all the accolades. It's amazing how much better we get the older we get. But actually, it wasn't the 3 touchdowns and 4 touches. It was 3 touchdowns in the first 4 times I touched it.
Oh, okay.
I touched it some more that didn't turn into touchdowns, needless to say. But
Jim kind of has a selective memory sometimes.
Appreciate the opportunity to be on. And back to your question, when you asked me that, you noticed I was kind of nonchalant about it, and I'm not a soothsayer, and I'm just a fan like everybody else. But when you asked me, I said, "What time of year is it?" And you didn't know what I was talking about. Well, it's off season. And so these media types, and we all know who they are, they have to make a living. And to do that, they have to sell airtime, or they have to sell newsprint or magazines or something. So I don't think very highly of most any of them, because most of them have never participated in the game. But yet, it seems, especially in the South, we have people that, I don't listen to sports talk radio. It's kind of like one time I quit a job, and the man told me, the guy was president of the company, said, "Well, Mike, we had high expectations for you, so why are you quitting?" I said, "Well, I've only got one route." And I said, "I always said I'd never work for anybody dumber than me." And I said, "You've promoted this guy." And I said, "He's dumber than I am." And I said, "I'm not working for him." So that's kind of the way I am by sports talk radio. I'm not going to sit attentively and listen to some pencil neck that's never played the game, and people will actually call in and ask these people their opinion on certain plays and why they do this and down and distance calls, and it's asinine.
Well, and so you really didn't put a lot of credence in these.
I put none whatsoever. They had already beat that horse completely to death. They drug, and listen, as the famous Doug Layton said, who was a great color man for the University of Alabama for many years, he said, "I'm as unbiased as a biased person can be." And that is me. I bleed orange and blue, don't mind telling you, and I'm as unbiased as a biased person can be. But it's fact that the NCAA camped out down there. They drug out everything they could possibly drag out on Cam Newton, on Auburn, and everyone concerned. And it's the first time in the history of the NCAA that they ever apologized to the university for the inconvenience. They never found one major violation. So when you ask me that, due to all of that, I mean, that was common knowledge, not that I had any insight. I just didn't feel like that there would be anything that would come out of it. It's kind of, you're a law, it's kind of a double jeopardy deal. But this particular individual, I don't even remember their name, won't even comment on the gender, but it looked like to me, well, let me just see if I can stir something up to generate a paycheck. But I didn't put much credence to it. But it's a big time business now. It's money. It's big money. You pay these coaches a lot of money, and a lot of people make a lot of money off of the student athlete.
Well, it sounds to me you hit that right on the head, because it looks like it's all blown over and much to do about nothing, as you said. Hey,
you had a
lot of characters you played with that you're still real close to. Who are some of the people you're closest to that you played with down there?
Well, my group, in particular, of course, you know, you're associated there. There's a four-year span there, four, sometimes five, if somebody's redshirted. So, you know, I had great friends, and even after I left, you know, of course, like you said, you know, you're younger, but a lifelong friend, and back then you could, and I helped persuade you to go to Auburn, but Don Webb was a very good cornerback from Scottsboro, Alabama. He and I still stay in touch quite a bit. Buddy McClinton was a consensus All-SEC and All-American safety. David Campbell is a retired high school football player, All-American defensive tackle from Door, Alabama. Tom Banks, All-SEC. Tom may have been All-Pro a time or two, played 12, 14 years in the pros, and lives down in Fairhope and retired. Mike Colin is a businessman in Birmingham, and Pat Sullivan and I are very dear friends. Of course, coach at Samford, and it goes on, and my understudy, so to speak, he claims he was a lot better than me. He probably was, but Terry Henley is a dear friend of mine, and we talk probably three times a week.
I was hoping you didn't forget about him and him here this show, so I'm glad you got his name.
Oh, no. I can't. Hey, how can I prevent my forget my main man? But
hey, I remember I'd play in some football game, and some scout, it was a state playoff game against Alexandria, and some scout was in the stands for Auburn, and you came up and told me, hey, I told him, you never fair catch a punt. And I'll never forget that guy punting the ball 35 yards, in 80 yards up in the air and 20 yards down the field, and I didn't fair catch one of them because you said that. But we went to Auburn that Saturdays when I committed to Auburn, and you drove me down there.
That's right.
And there was a little story with Henley down there that day that was pretty funny. Do you remember that?
I do remember, and we still talk about it. I told him, and sometimes I'll tell him, if he'll say something, I'll say, you need to be quiet. You're still indebted to me for what I did for you. But what the story was, I wore the number 23. And, you know, a number is a number is a number, but, you know, when a certain person wears it, it becomes popular and what have you, and just so happened I had some success. And so Buddy Davison, who was the sports information director at the time, we were sitting in the stands for that spring. I had finished my eligibility, and he said, Mike, he said, tell you what I'm going to let you do. He said, I'm going to let you choose who you want to have your number, 23. Well, the word got out on the street. Well, you know Henley, the politician, so he starts lobbying me for number 23. And I said, well, okay. I said, I'm going to consider it. I've got it down between you and Harry Unger. And he's begging, he's pleading. Finally, he told me, you know, like there was any difference, he said, please let me have the 23. He said, 29 is so ugly.
<That's>, you know, that sounds just like Henley.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you know, if there's a stud wearing 29, it starts looking good.
Well, you mentioned to me before this show if anybody was a better ambassador than Henley is for Auburn University.
I don't know what I mean.
And he does a lot of things behind the scenes too, like he's making some efforts to help James Owens get his home remodeled because of his disability and some things like that. You knew James too when you were down there, didn't you?
Oh yes, knew James very well. He's a very fine young man. He was a freshman in Terry's class when I was a senior, and a lot of people, you know, you've experienced that, and it's everywhere. You know, the freshmen do this, freshmen do that. I never did think that was appropriate. I mean, everybody's there for the same reason, but Terry's done so many things that I don't even know about. You know, our dear friend that from Aniana that signed a year after I did with Auburn, Tommy Lowry, has experienced some health problems now. And Tommy was in Johns Hopkins hospital in Baltimore for surgery. And Terry, this was a year or so ago, and Terry got on a plane, flew to Baltimore, walked in the hospital, visited about an hour with Tommy, make sure he's okay, checked with Terry's wife to see if anything, her name was Terry also, if she needed anything, and everything was okay, got back on the plane, came back to Birmingham. And he's that kind of person. And hey, Jim, you're in the fraternity too. It's kind of that way, and I'm sure the people over on the other side of the state feel the same way, but you know, like I said, I'm as unbiased as a biased person can be. So it was a great experience for me, and I know it was you, being from a small town. And I was the first of several that followed right along. And accolades to you that people don't know, but you played on back-to-back state championship teams here. Aniana is a football-rich tradition up here. And there's been a lot of good ball players come through here, but I was fortunate enough to be the first one of the bunch. So, you know, I'll be forever grateful for that. So, you know, try to give back. I don't go back as much as I once did, but you know, I watch them all and just as interested as I was the day I played.
Well, we'd love to talk to people on here that bleed blue and orange. Is there anything you just want to tell any of the Auburn fans out there? You got carte blanche to say anything you want.
Okay, I would tell all Auburn fans this. First of all, I have an opinion just like you do, and I'm far removed from it. I have no, all these people that say my sources tell me this and my sources tell me that. I don't believe that, but I'm a Auburn Football Letterman's Club. I'm in GAF, just like you and all the other stuff, but I'm a fan. But when the coaching vacancy came open, and this is no brag, it's just my opinion, it's just what I wanted, but my first choice was Gus Malzahn. And I'll tell you why he was my first choice. I got very, very close to the program here at Aniana in 2001 or two. I can't remember when Josh Niblett, and if anybody knows high school football, knows how successful he's been at Aniana, Oxford, and now Hoover. And I stayed with that program for a lot of years. And during that time, I saw not only Aniana, but all high schools go to some form of spread option offense. Well, if all high schools are doing it, what are colleges going to have to recruit? They're going to have to recruit spread option players. Okay? Now, everybody says, oh, it won't do this, it won't do that. Well, guess what? I can name you five teams in the NFL it's bled over to. You got Cam Newton, Carolina. You got Russell Wilson at the Seahawks. You got RG3 at the Redskins. You got Colin Kaepernick with the 49ers. And there's one more that I can't recall. But Gus Malzahn is
Tim Tebow, parts unknown.
Well,
Tim Tebow.
Tim's a great boy. He's a great, college quarterback. He's a great human being, but he's not in those other guys' league, really. But it's everything changes. You know, the wishbone got hot. Then the pro set, then the trips and what have you. So it's a deal, but Gus Malzahn is a brilliant football coach. He won six state championships in high school. He sleeps 4 hours a night. He has 160 IQ. And I'm going to make a very, very bold statement right here. He was my first choice. It might take a couple of years, but Gus Malzahn will revolutionize football in the Southeastern Conference.
Well,
that's bold, and I'll get some criticism, but you wait and see.
Well,
you type athletes, you're gonna be recruiting.
Well,
that's what they all run in high school now.
That's some encouraging news, and you sure made some good points, and it just makes me
That's just an opinion.
Makes me even more excited about it. And that's
And you were talking about spring training. Spring training was so bad under Coach Jordan. I hated it so bad that I wouldn't even go back to watch the spring training game, but I'm so fired up, I may even go to the A-Day game.
People don't know the feeling you get in your stomach when you breathe that spring grass smell, do they? If they hadn't been there,
no. And when they you get in 30 practices and you're only supposed to have 20. but it really, it wasn't cheating because you could be in shorts. But the problem was it turned into like rugby. You were doing the same thing. You just didn't have pads on.
Mike, one of the reasons I want to have you on is because of your opinions and your manner of saying things, and you were a great Auburn football player and a great Auburn man, and we really, really appreciate you being on our show, and it's thank you very much.
I tell you, Jim, I appreciate you having me on, and all I can say is I did the best of what I had, and I was a blessed individual to be fortunate enough to go there, and it was great for me, like other institutions were great for other people. But if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it the same way.
All right, buddy. Good to see you, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Nice talking with both of you, and I look forward to seeing you in the near future.
Mike, Jim, and I are actually going to have a conversation if you want to hang on and chime in if you want to. I was going to ask Jim his legal opinions, both of us being lawyers. Harvey Updike has now been sentenced. We all know Mr. Updike.
Death penalty?
Well, it's my understanding he got 6 months, and he's going to have to be required to do some probation. Some people out there on these message boards and on the internet are saying that was too much. They're saying that wasn't enough.
Isn't there a publication in Tuscaloosa? Is there a publication called the Capstone?
There is.
And I have the Capstone report right here. It's sad to see what they published. I'll just read from it. This is from the Capstone report. The only thing funnier than Updike killing their trees is hearing Auburn fans lamenting about it, hearing how it brings them to tears and they won't be able to share with their children this meaningful tradition. The tradition, mind you, of throwing toilet paper up some trees. Harvey Updike did those future generations a favor. He forced dignity upon these future members of society. Maybe now they'll focus on things that really matter, like learning how to exist outside the competitive hatred for a big brother they'll never catch.
You know, that's prototypical of that, and I'm not going to get into a contest, name-calling contest for that, but they need to check the record back over a 30-year period and see how they stand, talking about the big brother, little brother, and it's kind of self-explanatory, but if somebody blows up that capstone they call over there, I wonder how they'll feel about that. So,
Or Denny Chimes or something.
Yeah, but Denny Chimes or something, you know, so I can't. It's hard to believe that somebody would take pleasure in that or make light of it, of somebody else's tradition. But all I'll say about that, I just consider the source. And I'm not generalizing because I've got Alabama friends. But that's kind of sick, really.
Well, you need to tone down a little bit about the media, Mike. I mean, a podcast is media.
We do have high ethical standards here.
And
I said certain media.
I was a journalism major, but
well, I know, but I said certain media. Hey, when they were writing good stories about me, I didn't say anything about them.
All right, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, anytime. Bye.
Jim, I appreciate you getting Mike available for us. You know, a bit of news that I did learn today also that, speaking of the trees, Auburn University is making keepsakes of the famous oak trees. Apparently, they're going to be removed on April 23rd. I think there goes Mike. The trees are going to...
Mike has left the building.
The trees are going to be removed on April 23rd, and... shortly thereafter, they're going to make commemorative plaques from the wood that's retrieved from those trees.
Well, that would be something good to own. That'd be good. I'm going to miss those trees. But you know, things will go on. Auburn will survive, and we'll come up with another tradition.
Well, I'd highly encourage everybody that's going to 8A to stop by and visit them one last time. Take the kids. And hopefully we'll have trees there again soon.
Adam, I heard you're doing some things for charity that are pretty amazing. At least amazing to me, a guy who doesn't exercise quite as much as he used to. Tell us about what you're up to in the next one.
Well, Jim, I think our next show might be on the road. I am, for the second year in a row, participating in a fundraising run for St. Jude. It's actually about a 400-mile run from St. Jude Hospital in Memphis all the way down to Mobile, Alabama. And it is, of course, designed to support the St. Jude Children's Hospital, where... no child is ever turned away because of lack of funding.
Yeah, that's a very good organization, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for doing that, and I would do it with you, other than instead of St. Jude, I would probably be giving UAB business by their trauma department if I tried to run that park.
Well, like I said, let's do the show from the road. I'll call you up, and it looks like we might be doing a little bit of a preview for A-Day.
Yeah, that sounds good, and I'll try to come up with us a good guess for that.
Well, now that I've officially announced it, you have to.
Well, I'll do it.
We don't want to lose credibility, like Mike said.
I'll do it. We'll try to have us a really good guest for that. All righty.
Thanks, Jim, for joining us today. I also want to thank Mike Currier for joining us. Next week, we'll be giving the preview for A-Day. And in the meantime, hope everyone checks out our sister shows. Go visit BigBrainsMedia.com and check out some of the other shows that they have going on there.
Well, and the Alabama show's really good. And a lot of, you know, we all have friends, Alabama, Auburn, and I've got so many classy Alabama friends, very classy. And hopefully the person that wrote that article in the Capstone has a little second thoughts. I did believe that went across the line, but, you know, some people have to live and learn a little bit of where the line is. But we have one of the greatest rivalries, and I think it's been voted the greatest rivalry in the nation. And when you have that great a rivalry, you're going to have some things like that happen.
And I consider Steve Samples to be one of the most classy people out there, so go check out his show over there, Bama Talk Show. Jim, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Adam.
Good night.